Okay, we are going to continue in our Genesis series. For those of you who have not been here before, I'm preaching through Genesis, and the reason I titled it The Beginning of the Great Story is because so many times when I was growing up, I would learn about these stories in Genesis and maybe a moral lesson that they taught. I didn't understand how they all tie together and how they point to the great story of Jesus. So that's what we're going through now over the next few months. How many of you guys have ever played one of these games? When I was young, my parents had a game called Babble On, and now this one's really popular, Mad Gap. Has anyone played these games? Nobody's played these games? Oh, this will be fun. All right, so I have three examples for you here this morning, and these are taken from these games. So what you do, you have someone read this, and another person has to actually say what the message is. So if I say, of lions quarrel, you have to figure out what that is actually saying. Okay? So I'll give you this one. It's a flying squirrel. Of lions quarrel. Yeah? You want to try another one? Is this ridiculous? I thought you guys probably played this. You know this already. Aim odors Heigl. Aim a motorcycle. Good. All right, last one. I pull choose. I pull choose.
Apple juice.
Apple juice. Yes. All right. So you guys get. We should probably have a church game night and play Mad Gap. I thought you guys would have played this already. This would have been easy. All right. So why am I showing you guys these examples in our story in Genesis today? We're going to be seeing these problems here where someone's saying something and other people aren't quite understanding what's going on. But this is happening on a grand scale. And we're going to see why it needed to happen and what God's plan was in all of this. So if you guys want to turn to Genesis 10, or you can follow along up here. But just doing a recap. We haven't done this in a while. Genesis, who is the author? The author is most likely Moses. The original recipients are the Israelite people. When was this book written? It was when they were in the wilderness, before they went into the promised land. Why did Moses write this book? God needed his people to have faith in him, in where they came from, in where he was bringing them, and to trust him. So a lot of what we're going to see in Genesis is based around this idea of faith. Okay? A couple weeks ago, we had talked about Noah's Ark. Back in Genesis 3, when Adam and Eve sinned against God, God had to kick them out of his perfect place, lest they stay in that sinful state forever. And God promised, before he made them leave the garden, that he was going to bring someone that was going to crush the head of the serpent, to undo what Adam did, and be able to bring people back into God's presence and be able to eat of the tree of life again. And then we saw where there's two different lines, the spiritually righteous line of the seed of the woman, or the unrighteous line, the seed of the serpent. And we saw Cain and Abel. And the earth keeps getting worse and worse, and God finally gets to the point where he says, no more. I'm going to judge the earth. He floods it, but he shows grace on one man, Noah, and gives Noah a plan to save his creation. Even though God wiped out everything else, it's all about God's mercy in making sure his promises come true. So through Noah then, God made a covenant never to destroy the earth with a flood again. And then we also talked, something happened after the flood where Noah sinned, got drunk, had a wild night in his tent. And then Ham, his son, was mocking him, making fun of him, and God had Noah put a curse on Ham's offspring. Canaan is Ham's son. And what we talked about, but there was a blessing on the other two sons that covered up Noah's sin, Shem and Japheth. And we said that Canaan, because of the curse, the reader is supposed to associate him with the offspring of the serpent. As we read about Cain's genealogy and Canaan or Ham's genealogy and Canaan's genealogy, we're going to realize these guys are not righteous. They are not seeking the Lord. But the Lord is showing grace to Shem, and ultimately Japheth will be blessed through Shem's family. Okay? So this is kind of a recap of where we've been. I was gone last week, so I thought it would be good to go over again. Where are we at today? Genesis 10. Now, part of this might be a little boring because we're going to be reading some names. We're actually going to be covering three chapters today, but I'm going to skip around a little bit so we can get through all of them. But Genesis 10, we're hearing the names, the genealogy of Ham and his descendants. So it says, the sons of Ham, Cush, Egypt, Put, and Canaan. The sons of Cush, Seba, Havila, Sabta, Rama, and Sabteca. The sons of Rama, Sheba, and Dedan. Cush fathered Nimrod. He was the first on earth to be a mighty man. He was a mighty hunter before the Lord. Therefore, it is said, like Nimrod, a mighty hunter before the Lord. The beginning of his kingdom was Babel, Erech, Akkad, and Calna in the land of Shinar. From that land he went into Assyria and built Nineveh, Rehoboth-ur, Calah, and Rezin between Nineveh and Calah, that is the great city. Egypt fathered Ludum, Anamim, Leabim, Naphtalim, Pathrusim, Caslahim, from whom the Philistines came, and Kephtorim. I tried to read that as bold and as confident as possible, but I had no idea what I was doing. Okay, so what I did for you guys, though, I highlighted a couple names in here. Okay, I didn't do all the history research on who all these different peoples are, but some of these should be pretty popular as we read scripture. And as we look at the ones that are highlighted, Egypt, Canaan, Babel, Nineveh, Philistines, these are all descendants of Ham, the cursed son. So as the reader goes forward in scripture and is starting to hear some of these names, we should associate that with a cursed people. Now, God's people come from the line of Shem, and we're going to see that later on. But just knowing some of these names and kind of where the spiritual line comes from, this is not going to be good as we keep moving forward. One other thing I want to point out here, because I think it sets the stage for where we're going to read in chapter 11. All of a sudden, you see the break in the names, and it goes to Nimrod. And it kind of talks about Nimrod. Cush fathered Nimrod. He was the first on earth to be a mighty man. He was a mighty hunter before the Lord. Now, some of us guys that like the outdoors, we might be thinking, wow, this is awesome, right? This guy shoots a lot of game. Stands before the Lord, says, look at this trophy buck. I don't think that's what it's saying, okay? Let's say this says powerful. He's a powerful man. He's a powerful hunter before the Lord. Who's he hunting? Probably people. And when he's standing before the Lord, it's not in, hey God, we're in fellowship together. It's in defiance. Okay? He's standing before the Lord in defiance, hunting men. Because we get to, he builds this kingdom. The beginning of his kingdom was Babel. And that's where we're going to go into chapter 11. And we're going to see these people are not trying to worship the Lord in this kingdom. So, I just wanted to touch on that because this is going to set the stage and the trajectory through Scripture of people who are standing in defiance of the Lord, trying to make a name for themselves rather than worship God. Okay. Oh, and Josephus, so this is not Scripture, but an ancient Jewish historian, he writes that Nimrod wanted to take... wanted to avenge the people that God wiped out in the flood. And he built a tower so that if God ever floods the earth again, that people would not die. So again, even outside of scripture, there's commentary on how Nimrod was not a not a very good guy. So let's go forward. Genesis 11, 1-4. Now the whole earth had one language and the same words. And as people migrated from the east, they found a plain in the land of Shinar, and settled there. And they said to one another, come, let us make bricks and burn them thoroughly. And they had brick for stone and bitumen for mortar. And they said, come, let us build ourselves a city and a tower with its top in the heavens, and let us make a name for ourselves, lest we be dispersed over the face of the whole earth. Do you guys remember back early on in Genesis, what did God give the command to Adam and Eve? Go be fruitful and multiply and what? Fill the earth, right? Spread God's image over the earth. Spread worship of God over the earth. And Adam didn't do that. And then after the flood, God gives that same command to Noah. Go be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth with my image, right? Now, what do we read just after Noah's story in chapter 11? Let us make a name for ourselves, lest we be dispersed over the face of the whole earth. Again, this is where humanity is going. This is man's heart. They want to make a name for themselves. They want themselves to be great. They don't want to listen to God or do what he wants them to do. And they build a tower into the heavens. So, picture this. Ancient world. You can see this thing from miles away, right? People are building this great city, this huge tower. Wow, isn't that amazing? I bet even God couldn't break that thing down. Okay? This next part, I love this. Okay, I think Moses was making some humor in Genesis here. Genesis 11:5 says, "And the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the children of man had built." I'll read that slowly. The Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the children of man had built. He couldn't see it. It's like this. Right? Now, obviously, we know God could see it. But I think what Moses is doing is making a point, a sarcastic point. God's saying, wow, that big tower you guys got down there? I have to come down to see that thing. It's so small. You think you can go against me? You can't. You cannot build a tower into the heavens and save yourselves. I'll come down and look at it. And the Lord said, "Behold, they are one people, and they have all one language, and this is only the beginning of what they will do. And nothing that they propose to do will now be impossible for them. Come, let us go down and there confuse their language, so that they may not understand one another's speech." So the Lord dispersed them from there over the face of all the earth, and they left off building the city. Therefore, its name was called Babel, which means confusion, because there the Lord confused the language of all the earth. And from there, the Lord dispersed them over the face of all the earth. So just step back a second. This picture of man coming together and saying, let's make a name for ourselves. We don't want to do what God wants us to do. Let's make ourselves great. And God, in his grace and mercy, he could have wiped them out, couldn't he? Zap that tower, zap the people. But in his grace, he says, no, I'm still going to let you live, but I'm going to confuse your language. It's like playing that game. What are you saying, Ben? Okay. And God disperses them over the earth. God's plan is to get man covering the earth, to spread God's image and worship of him. Now, man still needs help. Even though they're dispersed, God still needs to intervene and do something, doesn't he? So the story keeps going. Now, these are the generations of Terah. So now, Moses shifts into writing about the genealogy of Shem. And it goes through 10 generations, so hundreds of years. And we get to this man named Terah. Terah fathered Abram, Nahor, and Haran, and Haran fathered Lot. Haran died in the presence of his father Terah in the land of his kindred in Ur of the Chaldeans. And Abram and Nahor took wives. The name of Abram's wife was Sarai, and the name of Nahor's wife Milcah, the daughter of Haran and the father of Milcah and Iscah. Now Sarai was barren, she had no child. Terah took Abram his son and Lot the son of Haran, his grandson, and Sarai, his daughter-in-law, his son Abram's wife, and they went forth together from Ur of the Chaldeans to go into the land of Canaan. But when they came to Haran, they settled there. The days of Terah were 205 years, and Terah died in Haran. Okay, kind of boring, but we're getting introduced into new characters in the story, and anytime the writer kind of takes a break from the the names and stuff and starts telling a story, we should pick up. What's he doing here? Where is he going to go with this? He introduces us to a man named Abram. And we read from this, Abram and his wife had no child. She was barren. So that's something we want to put on the back burner as we continue through Genesis. And they went together from Ur to the land of Haran. So I looked at this on a map. This is over 1,000 kilometers on foot from what's modern-day Iraq all the way up to modern-day Turkey, near the Turkish-Syrian border. So they walked all that way. They left where their family was from, and they were planning on going to Canaan, but they settled in Haran. They thought, this is good enough. Okay? So this is kind of the backdrop of a man named Abram. And now God does something incredible. He shows more grace and chooses this man named Abram, and he says this. Now the Lord said to Abram, go from your country and your kindred, that's your family, and your father's house to the land that I will show you. And I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you I will curse, and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. God chooses this man, Abram, to show grace to. I'm going to bless you so that you're a blessing. I'm going to bring you into the land that I'm going to show you. If anyone curses you, I will curse them, and every family of the earth will be blessed through you. That sounds pretty incredible, isn't it? That's a big promise, isn't it, kids? So, what is Abram going to do? He's not anyone special, but God showed him grace and chose to bless him. What will he decide? Will he stay with his father and his future inheritance of his father's, or will he leave into the unknown? So Abram went as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. And Abram took Sarai his wife and Lot his brother's son and all their possessions that they had gathered and the people that they had acquired in Haran. And they set out to go to the land of Canaan. When they came to the land of Canaan, Abram passed through the land to the place at Shechem, to the oak of Moreh. At that time, the Canaanites were in the land. Then the Lord appeared to Abram and said, to your offspring I will give this land. So he built there an altar to the Lord who had appeared to him. From there he moved to the hill country on the east of Bethel and pitched his tent with Bethel on the west and Ai on the east. And there he built an altar to the Lord and called upon the name of the Lord. And Abram journeyed on, still going toward the Negev. Abram's response was of faith. He left what he knew was certain in his father's house, his inheritance there, and he followed the Lord into the unknown. And we see here the Lord showed him the land that his offspring would possess. But who was living there? The Canaanites, the cursed people, the wicked people, the evil people. They were living in that land of promise right now. But Abram responded by, he started building altars to the Lord. He accepted the Lord's invitation and worship followed. As we continue reading the story of Abram, he's going to be a central point as we continue going through Genesis. We're going to realize he's kind of a weasel. He messes up quite a bit. But the Lord showed him grace, and the Lord continues to show him grace, and the Lord works in him and through him, through his faith, to bring about his promises. Remember, he said, in you all families of the earth will be blessed. So, spoiler alert, when we get to Matthew chapter 1, verse 1, it says, this is the genealogy of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. When you get to the New Testament, Matthew's introducing you to a person that's, and he's saying, he's the fulfillment He's the offspring, the true offspring of Abraham, and he's the one that's going to bring the blessing to all the families of the earth. So this is bigger than just a story in Genesis. This is introducing the story. It's inviting us into it through Christ. Through Jesus, all families of the earth will be blessed. So, Abram followed God. He left his identity for something greater. I'm willing to step into the unknown. In some ways, when we moved from northern Wisconsin out to New Jersey, I was reminded of this story a lot. God, I don't know what's happening, but I have faith in who you are. I don't know what's going to happen to me, or my family, or my house, or anything. But in faith, the Lord gave me faith to trust in him. He gave me eyes to see who he was. And even though I'm taking a step into the unknown, I had confidence in God. And guys, just to be honest with you, I still have to remind myself of this today. There's things in my life I'm not sure of. I don't know how it's going to play out. Lord, give me faith. Because I need to take a step, and I don't know what's going to happen, and I'm scared. But I know who you are, and I trust you. Help me, Jesus. So again, in you all families of the earth will be blessed. We know by reading the rest of Scripture that this is Jesus. And then when Jesus says this in Luke, Jesus said to all, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. For what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses or forfeits himself? This reminds me back of Nimrod, starting this kingdom to make a name for themselves. His identity was in himself. He stood in defiance of the Lord. And here we see Jesus giving us an invite to not be like that. Deny yourself. Take up your cross. Die to yourself. Follow in my footsteps. Identify with me. And you'll be saved. But if I'm honest with myself, there's times where I stand like Nimrod and I want to do what I want to do. I want to make myself great, or I want to build my own little kingdom with my desires, and I need to constantly preach this to myself. It's not about me. It's about Jesus. And he offers me to find my identity in him, to find my life in him, my righteousness in him, my purpose in him. And I will be blessed. So, are we going to accept this invite? Yeah, I prayed a prayer years ago. I'm already a Christian. Yeah, but if you're like me, you need to preach this to yourself all the time. All the time. Are we going to have faith like Abram? Are we willing to leave? It's like we're living in the land of the Canaanites right now, isn't it, when we watch the news? This is a wicked, evil land, and are we willing to put our faith in promises of a forever kingdom that the Lord's going to bring us to, or are we going to settle here in the land of the Canaanites? I want us to encourage to preach this to ourselves daily and follow the one who is the blessing, that's Jesus, and put our faith in him. Whatever you guys are dealing with today or struggling with today, he's inviting you. Find your identity in me. It's about me. And in me, you will find blessing and purpose and life and salvation. Let's pray. Lord, I want to confess that we are a people much like those at Babel. We think too highly of ourselves. We want to make our name great or do what we want. But Lord, it's not about us. So I confess for us as a people that we do at times stand in defiance of you. And we need your mercy, Lord. We see how you're a merciful God in the Scriptures. You show grace to people who don't deserve it, and you bless them in order to be a blessing. Lord, would you bless our church? Would you bless each one here? Would you continue to extend that hand of mercy and work in us for your glory? Lord, we thank you that you humbled yourself to come down to earth and die on a cross for our sins and to give us identity in you, but we need faith to do that. And that faith only comes from you, Lord. Give us the faith that we need to make it and persevere and spread worship of you over the earth. Amen.
Amen.